Welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Here's a teaching session from Galatians chapters 1 and 2 entitled, The One True Gospel.
Lord, we thank you that we can come together today to look at your word, and I pray that you would bless your word to our hearts. Help us, Father. We realize that we have one true gospel, and I pray that this gospel would be real and near to us. Help us, Lord, as we rejoice in the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of the gospel of your word that does what we need done, and I thank you for it today. I pray that you would sow it to our hearts and help it to grow, to be a blessing to all. In Jesus' name, amen. The one true gospel, this is Galatians chapters 1 and 2, and Paul jumps right in chapter 1. He starts talking about salvation, and he starts talking about the true gospel. Salvation is found only through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the true gospel is. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ. It is not grace plus works. It's not salvation plus baptism. It's not salvation plus charity plus doing good works, plus church membership. The moment you say plus anything, now a lot of things can be done as a result of salvation, and a lot of things can happen after you're saved, but salvation is faith in Jesus Christ alone. If you have to do all these other things in order to be saved, then how would you ever know that you get to the point where you're saved? Because you'll never do enough works. You'll never get to that point where you do enough works to be saved. So you have to just know that you're saved, and the way that you know that you're saved is a simple gospel that works, that just says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again. Now, he said this before. It's like your mother and your father told you. I done told you one time, I'm not going to tell you again. And they end up telling you again anyway. So he said, I've told you before, I'm saying it again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Let a curse come down on him. And that's drastic language that Paul uses. Let a curse come down on him. Those that would try to preach another gospel unto you than the true, sure enough gospel. The gospel that Paul preached to them was a true gospel. We have to beware of false gospels, because there are pseudo gospels out there. And Paul just jumps right into this Galatians 1, reminding us that it is Jesus who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's God's will that we be delivered from this present evil world. There's an evil world out there. It's full of a whole lot more things than virus and sickness and disease. There is a lot of sin. There's a lot of ungodliness. There's a lot of evil in this world. And Jesus came not only to deliver us from our past sins, not only to deliver us from things that we'll face in the future, but he came to deliver us from this present evil world. And he gave himself. Jesus stretched out on that cross, and he allowed himself to be tied to that whipping post. He gave himself so that we would be delivered from this present evil world. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. And the language says it's not really another. But there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So this pseudo gospel is a perverted gospel. It says that you can do other things to be saved, not just believing in Jesus. And they present it like this. Oh, it's good that you came to church. It's good that you profess faith in Christ. It's good that you say you believed on the Lord, but if you really want to be saved, you got to be circumcised. If you really want to be saved, you got to be baptized. And when you're baptized, you can't be baptized in another church. You got to be baptized in our church. You got to join our church. You got to come to our meeting. And so they strap these other things onto you. And Paul says, though we are an angel from heaven. And this is real serious. If you say, if we or even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, there's nothing wrong with new revelation in the sense of it's continuing to expand. God continues to show himself and reveal himself to us. But when we become bored with Christian life, when we become complacent and we think, well, maybe I really don't know the truth. Maybe there's something else out there. Yeah, there's always something else. There's always going to be something else out there. But we have to realize that Jesus is the answer. When you have Jesus, you have all you need. Colossians says it like this, you are complete in him who is the fullness of the Godhead. Paul assures them that this one true gospel is not man-made. I did not receive it from man, neither was I taught it by man, he declares. And he relates his past of how he had prospered in the Jews' religion above many that were in his nation. He had even been a ring-leading persecutor of the church. He even said, I persecuted and wasted it. I wasted the church of God. And that bothered him through his life. He knew he was forgiven, but it bothered him that he had persecuted Christ. Jesus said, when he spoke to Paul, Paul said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus Christ, whom you persecuted. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And his life was forever changed. But he said, I wasted the church. I persecuted it. But as he put it in another place, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The things that we did in our past, we cannot allow the devil to beat us up by the things that we did in our past because we did it ignorantly in unbelief. In verse 15 of Galatians 1, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me to his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, I didn't try to get approved by man. I didn't try to get Bible college degrees. I didn't try to get the approval of the church. And it's good to be connected with a good church, and it's good to have the Christian education that you need. But Paul said, I didn't try to go up to Jerusalem. I didn't try to go up and seek man's approval. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. I didn't try to get apostolic approval. I had the approval of God. I went into Arabia, he said, and then returned again into Damascus. Damascus, well, that's where he was going to persecute the church. That's where he got saved, on the road to Damascus. And he goes to Damascus to declare the gospel of Christ. We are to avoid and beware of these pseudo-false gospels. And we are to resist hypocrisy. Paul opens chapter 2 of Galatians. He had gone up to Jerusalem to confront the problem of circumcision. Some of the Jewish brethren were demanding that the new Gentile converts go through the tradition of being circumcised as they were. They tried to insist that this legalistic work be added onto and attached to their salvation. I'm glad you love the Lord, and I'm glad you're wanting to be a part of the family of God, but if you really love the Lord like you say you do, you'll be circumcised. You know, preachers still use that today. If you really love the Lord, you'll give to this media program. If you really love the Lord, you'll do so and so. And they put a guilt trip on people and try to horse people into this thing of a buffalo lasso situation that they try to put a heavy millstone around the neck of the disciples. Jesus said it like this to the lawyers. He said, you put heavy burdens on other men and you wouldn't even move one of them with your fingers yourself. And so he lays it on the line. Paul said, I do not want you to be bound by these things that other people try to put on to your salvation. And he went up there to confront this problem. They were saying these new believers, even though they're Gentiles, they're not bound by the ceremonial laws like we are, but they need to be circumcised. Paul said, wait a minute, this is not right. He wanted to make sure that, as he said, he was not running in vain. Paul said, maybe I'm running in vain. Am I doing all this in vain? I got to make sure that this is going to be right. And I know that I have the truth, but I want to make sure. Look, are we going to go by grace? Or are we going to go by law? Are we going to go by works, or are we going to go by faith? He said, it's got to be one way or the other. And they even took Titus. Titus was a Greek. And they took him as a test case. He was a test case. And so when the chips were down and the pressure was on, they did not compel him to be circumcised. Paul said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take Titus with us. He's a Greek. And we'll see whether they will compel him, whether they will make him be circumcised or not. They didn't do it. They didn't make him be circumcised. So that puts it out there to say that, well, you really don't have to be circumcised. If you have to be circumcised to make sure that you're a Christian, then Titus would have had to have gone through circumcision. He didn't have to do it, so he passed the test. Paul knew it was only an attack made by false brethren to bring the sincere believers into bondage, to whom he said, we gave them no place, no, not for even an hour. We didn't listen to these people who were trying to put a lasso on the neck of the disciples. And that's what the council in Jerusalem said. He said, why, Peter did, and James did too, why do we want to put a yoke on the neck of these disciples that we nor our fathers were able to bear? And then he says in verse 6 of chapter 2 now, of these whom seemed to be somewhat, and I like the language, if I can say it, sometimes it's said like this, of these who seemed to be somewhat, in other words, they were trying to be big shots, trying to be big wheels in the church, those who seemed to be somebody or somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. He said, I'm not caring about that. God is not accepting any man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. In other words, when the pressure was on, they had to put their money where their mouth was, so they were quiet. They had to be quiet. And the Holy Spirit has his way. When the Holy Spirit ends up having his way, then all these false brothers are put aside, and these false doctrines. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, just like the gospel of the circumcision was committed to Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. In other words, the same God who was working in Peter is the same God who's working in me. The Holy Spirit who dwells in one Christian is the same Holy Spirit who dwells in another Christian. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in the littlest person in the church, just like he does the bishop of the whole conference. God makes no difference. He has no respect of persons. And when James, Cephas, or Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, and they were like leaders of the church, when they perceived the grace that was given unto me, Paul said, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. So when you join the church and they shake your hand, then that didn't come from just a preacher making that up. That came from the fact that it was in the Bible. They gave to Barnabas and Paul the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. In other words, the only thing we want you to do is be sure you don't forget the poor. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Paul said, I got up in his face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, they came from the big boys of the church. He, that is Peter, did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. You act one way when you're with the regular folks, and you act another way when you're with the big folks. Paul said, that's not right. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? In other words, why do you live one way, while all the time demanding that everyone else live another way? It's not one standard for the preacher and another standard for everybody else. We all have the same standard. We all have the same Bible. We all have the same God. We all have the same Holy Spirit. And so we are to proclaim salvation by faith in Christ alone. We who are Jews by nature, Paul says, and not sinners of the Gentile, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the hearing of Jesus Christ, by the faith of Jesus Christ, we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The law does not justify anybody. We are justified by faith in Christ alone. And that's how we can be justified, by faith in Christ. We can be justified by Him and not by the works of the law. If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. It's not about sin. Jesus forgives you of your sin so you can live. Paul said, If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. And one of the most important verses in Scripture, it all comes down to being crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is one true gospel. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If there was a law that could have been given righteousness, then righteousness would have come by the law. But righteousness is not of the law. Righteousness is by the faith of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be in this place with your people today. And I pray, Lord, today that you would bind our hearts together in love wherever we are, in our homes, in our yards, wherever we find ourselves. God, I pray that you would let this word touch the hearts of your people today and bless your people. We thank you that we know the truth of the gospel. We thank you that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And I pray today that you would be mighty in our lives. Lord, that you would help us to reach this world with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to reach the world now as never before. And I pray that we would do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a teaching session from Galatians chapters 1 and 2 entitled, The One True Gospel. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. The only way to be saved is to know Jesus. That is the gospel. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.